Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and it is a beautiful day, at least here in Dallas. It's the 18th of December. We're closing in on Christmas, end of the year, and all that stuff. And speaking of the end of the year, we're going to talk with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf about his look back on 2018, a little bit peek ahead to 2019, what we expect on the PGA Tour and in golf in general. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. This is a bit of the downtime as we've seen some fun golf being played involving PGA and Champions Tour players in the last couple of weeks, but no official events until they all head to Hawaii for the Century Tournament of Champions. Then we get back into the FedEx Cup race and we'll be back up and going in the 2019 season. So a little bit of a Christmas break for a lot of people here. We have Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. How's everything in Nashville today, Frank?
It's just country music as usual. Same old, yeah. You know. Yeah,
that's good.
Had a big deal at Walmart in Nashville, okay? A lot of the country music stars up in Hendersonville bring their tour buses in. It really is a sweet thing. I'm making fun of it, and I shouldn't. But they allow the public to come tour for $15 or $20 for the whole family. You get to go through and meet the star and tour their tour bus. And all the money goes to charity. That's a huge deal in Nashville. It's just crazy. I mean, if I want to tour
something,
I want it to be the Concord. Yes, Walmart in Hendersonville, yeah. Tennessee. Not far from me up here. I'm north Nashville. North of...
There you go.
So yeah, we'll see. Yeah,
Moment in Nashville.
Nah, we're gonna have freezing fog this Friday, so it'll be great.
Yeah, well, maybe be able to get out and play a little golf.
Does that slow down your backswing when it collects on the shaft as you're coming back? I'm not sure.
We'll have to find out. Yeah, Steve knows everything about the game of golf and the swing, so he might be able to inform us about
it
that. Kind of
slows
stuff.
Down my over the top move is what it does. There you go.
Which is good. The weather should be pretty decent here in Dallas, so I might get out and play a little bit. I don't know where Steve has been. Last week, I think Steve was out in, was it Palm Springs? We'll find out. He's always traveling the globe, doing a little teaching when he's not in Dallas. Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf is with
good
us,
morning,
too,
boys.
Managing partner.
Good morning.
How you doing, Stevie? Everything good?
I'm doing great. Hey, Frank, you don't have to worry about the freezing fog.
I don't.
You don't have to worry about that. No, it's not going to affect your backswing or your downswing. You have so much antifreeze in you, you will not stove up.
Well, not on the show live, but yes, at the club. You're right.
Yeah.
I was actually in West Palm Beach last week.
Palm Beach. Okay.
Beautiful. It was beautiful down there. And taught at Wellington National. Some juniors down there. A member clinic. It was a lot of fun. It's good to be back, though. Like you said, Tim, it's going to be a nice day here in Dallas.
What's it going to be there?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
What's the temp?
I think mid-60s or something like that.
Oh, man.
So
it's going to be like mid-50s here, but still, I'll play.
Nice to get out and play and get some sunshine and stuff all this week. Yeah, so
I think it
might be a day to get out.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of research since I talked to you guys last time. A lot of research.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
I got three things for you today.
Good for that. What are they? Look at that.
I talked to Damon Green.
Ooh.
Damon Green is the ex-caddy of Zach Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He was nice enough to answer the phone when I called him. And you know what? Great caddies get jobs right away. He had hadn't been fired. They'd just taken a break is what Zach Johnson, that's the way Zach Johnson phrased it. He was taking a break. Well, Damon Green says, taking a break, my eye. He says, I think I just got fired. So he moved on, and just Hank and I discussed it last week on the radio, PGA Tour radio, Hank Haney Golf radio. We just talked about how, you know, there's only two types of caddies. There's two types of coaches. You know what that is, Frank?
Employed and unemployed.
Those that have been fired, and those that have been going to get fired.
Tell us, Tim. Tell us what it is.
Tim knows. Go, Tim.
those that have been fired and those that are about to get fired.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things you accept as a caddy and as a coach. You okay, Frank?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
wow.
You okay there?
Getting a little choked up over Damon getting fired.
I think
It's just a break.
I was shocked. I was in shock when I heard that. Just a break. I could not believe it.
How long has it been together? Oh, several years.
15 years.
Right?
15 years. Yeah. Almost $45 million in official money that Zach Johnson has made. And it's obvious, you know, caddies are very important. They're more important than the coach because the caddies make more than the coaches make.
Yeah.
It's just the facts.
They do?
The facts. I mean, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the caddy has one player, and the coach may have multiple players.
Right.
But per player, that player, the employee of that player, the caddy is the highest paid employee that that player will have. So Damon Green, I'm sure, made a lot of money, and they had a great relationship. At least it appeared to be a great relationship until the bomb was laid just last week. And it didn't take Damon Green long time at all to get something going. He went he went immediately to the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando and caddied for Jim Furyk's father and the father's son. He caddied for Mike Furyk. Yeah. And now he's going to be with Ollie Snyderjans. He went, told me on the telephone that he went and he visited with Ollie a couple days at Ollie's home. He was very impressed with his work ethic. You know, the kid's game. The kid is a bomber.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about the game changing. This kid can absolutely send it. He's worked with Sean Foley a little bit. That didn't last too long. I think he's gone back to his roots. And I expect to see some good things. And this is one of the things that Hank labels me a caddy lover. But one thing I like about the experienced caddy, Tim, one thing I love about the experienced caddy is that the experienced caddy can accelerate the learning process for the young tour pro. Then when Ollie Snyderjan makes, you know, a ton of money, then he can take a break with Damon and Damon will move somewhere else and do the same. It's a formula that can be repeated. So how
does the experienced caddy fast forward the learning process? A couple of points.
Well, the caddy's involved in every shot. The caddy never hits a shot. Hank will tell you that. The caddy's never hit a shot on the golf course, but the caddy influences every shot, good or bad. Every shot is influenced by the caddy. So it's an important role when you have an experienced player that knows the courses, that knows where you can miss, that observes the player's game and can see where he's a psychologist. He is a technician. He's a mathematician. He's everything rolled into one out there because the great caddies like Damon Green can help a player save shots. And that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, the only time a caddy, I have to disagree with Hank, and you can use this with Hank if you want to. If you want to keep your job, I wouldn't. But just say, yes, the caddy does hit a shot, and that's on Wednesday at TPC on number 17. The caddy does
hit
a shot.
I'm telling you what, and they get so nervous, Frank.
Yes, I know.
They get so nervous.
Oh.
And the player, the players love the anxiety that the players have. I can remember in 2008, I was with Ben Curtis and his caddy. His caddy played golf, but not very good. And he asked me if I wanted to hit the shot on 17 instead of him. And I said, absolutely. He said, no, Andy's got to hit this shot. And he hit it. I got it on video, took a full swing, and the ball went, I'm not kidding you, the ball went 10 feet.
Wow.
He walked 10 turf? Feet forward. He walked 10 feet forward. He picked that ball up, and he walked to the green. That was it for him.
Oh,
chicken.
That is a lot of pressure.
That's an intimidating call, Steve, for anybody.
For the coach and the caddy, how do you guys get along? I mean, is it a working relationship? Do you get a little frustrated? Does it get angry if the caddy is either disagreeing or giving, as you said, he's talking out on the course when you're not there and helping him with shots and all that other thing? Does it conflict sometimes between the coach and the caddy?
Typically not, because the coach and the player are on the same page, and the caddy and the player are on the same page. If someone's not on the same page, that person will be out of the book. I mean, that person will be gone. So typically not, you know.
Okay.
Hank would tell you that when he was helping Tiger for those 6 years that and I never saw Steve Williams never ever came out when Tiger Woods was having a lesson with Hank off site. Now, when Hank would be helping Tiger on site, Steve would be there. He wouldn't be fully engaged. Hank would be talking to Steve a little bit, getting him ready for the rounds. But I can remember one time at the British Open, Tiger hit in his warm-up, the first 10 shots, he hit his target. Some of them were the big 4x8 pieces of plywood that had the yardages on them, but some of them were pins. And he hit, out of the first 10 shots, he hit his target four times. And Hank said to Steve, he says, you know what, if you get within 100 yards, I wouldn't aim right at the pin. I'd aim a little bit to the side of the pin because he's probably going to hit it. And wouldn't you know it, that round, he did hit the pin.
Really?
We've seen that happen before, too, at the Masters. It happened to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bad break.
Isn't it? Yeah. I've never been quite so accurate that I have to not aim at the pin because I might hit it. Yeah. It's right. Never really been a problem for me. But I guess working with Tiger is a little bit different. We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. And that is kind of fascinating because it is a working relationship. When you talk about that, Steve, and you've been in the inside of a lot of this, not only around Hank and Tiger, but yourself and working with the guys on the tour. How many members are on this team now? I mean, if you're Jordan Spieth, if you're Cameron Champ now, or any of these guys,
Bryson,
are there 3, 4, 7, 8? How many different managers and different people are in that circle that you're part of as a coach?
You know, at the tournament sites, they're not that many. You're going to have your trainer, you're going to have the caddy, you're going to have the coach if it's a major. Hank and I talked about it the other day. If you're a caddy or you're a coach, you better be there to protect your turf because those guys have rabbit ears when you're not there. So at the sites, there's probably 3 to 4 guys. Now offsite, yeah. You know, you've got guys that have psychologists, sports psychologists. You've got guys that have putting gurus. Very seldom are you going to see more than 3 guys at a site because it's just, there's not a lot of time. The player's preparing for the tournament. The player's not there to, to work on something brand new. The player's just in there to dial in what he has for that week and hopefully get it done. So
yeah,
I think offsite, Tim, I mean, there's as many as a dozen guys that'll help out a tour player. I mean, some of those are parents too, you know, that, give them encouragement, sure. and all of those things that lead to better performance.
I was talking with, I mentioned Cameron Champ. Kind of curious your thoughts on what he's doing, because is it just the evolution of golf in general that every few years you're going to see another guy that's longer than Tiger, that's longer than DJ, that's longer than now Cameron Champ? They just keep coming. Do we expect that to ever end, that there'll be another guy? Because they're acting like Cameron Champ invented the long drive, and certainly he didn't, but they'd act like, well, he hits it past DJ. He hits it past Rory. He's so much longer than it. Is that just another guy in the pipeline who's 14 years old somewhere now that'll be Cameron Champ in another 7 years?
Yeah, Tiger always said, I can't wait to see the guy that's going to kick my butt. And I said, well, you know what? I don't think that guy's born yet. And he says, well, you know, that's what Jack Nicklaus said too, you know? So but you know what? The thing that I only see one thing dying and stopping is the generation of the mini tour pro, the Brian Harmans, the Kevin Kisners, the guys that can't bomb it. The game has passed them by. I mean, that's one of the reasons I think Zach Johnson may be seeing, hey, you know what? I'm giving him a huge benefit of the doubt here, but maybe saying, you know what, Damon Green needs to move on. He's got still a career. I'm going to be playing, lessening my schedule. I'm 42 years old. My better days are behind me. I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to play in some tournaments, but I've got other things on my list now too. So maybe he just released them out of a concern for Damon and him making a living.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, yeah. That would be a nice gesture for sure.
Yeah. I mean, because it is a rough life for a caddy whose player isn't playing very well, because you can do all you're supposed to be doing and think you're on top of your game. And if your guy's going through a rough time, hard to pay the bills when there's not a lot of money coming in. So being a caddy is very rewarding if you're one of those top guys, caddies, and everybody's seeing the big checks that they happen to be getting. But if you're not, and there's a lot of them that aren't, it's a tough life out there. We were talking before, remember, Frank, a few weeks ago when Kevin Tway won.
Yes.
Out at in Napa. And his caddy, I don't know if you know this, Steve, but his caddy is Mark Samble, who is the son of Bob Samble with Bob's Steak and Chop House. And they've been friends for a long, long time. And that's who Kevin Tway's caddy is. And I've talked to Bob a few times about what it's like on the tour. And he goes, well, and he went through the ups and downs of it. And he goes, yeah, I mean, there's times when, you know, you want to hit the guy with a brick in the side of the head if you're a player. You're like, come on, guy, make a putt, you know, do something here. So you don't have as much control. But it's an interesting life for a lot of those guys.
You know, yeah. for an average or above average, let's say, amateur, how good would it be to have a tour caliber caddy on your bag, say for a weekend or Saturday, Sunday, just to walk with you and work with you outside of a playing lesson, which you do a lot, Steve, I'm sure, but to have a tour caddy there just to point out some things and help you? I mean, it would have to improve their game by 4 or 5 strokes.
Oh, a higher handicap, absolutely. Absolutely. Just avoiding, the three keys that Hank talks about, the three putts, the penalty shots, and the two chips. Just trying to steer the player away from areas that are, he's very vulnerable, that he doesn't have a lot of confidence in or can't execute the shot that it takes. So, I think a caddy can help a bunch. But it can't be, it's just because a guy carries a bag doesn't mean he's any good.
True.
I mean, there are some great caddies, and there are caddies out there, and I stand with this, that a caddy affects every shot. And Hank thought I meant the caddy affects the shot for the good. No, there's caddies that affect the shot, the player's score, and add shots to that player's score. And those are typically very inexperienced caddies. Those are caddies that have really checked out. Those are caddies that probably won't be on the tour much longer. Because just like on the PGA Tour, you've got players coming up. You've got caddies that are hungry to get on the PGA Tour, that are caddying on the web.com, that are really paying their dues out there with younger players or players that are trying to recapture their PGA Tour cards. And they're not making much money out there. I mean, they're living paycheck to paycheck. So it's very important to, not only as a player to improve your game, but as a caddy, you've got to hone in the skills. And I reflect back to one time where one of the players that I used to help, he asked his caddy on the last hole of the U.S. Open, what should I do from here? And the caddy says, well, you got to putt this because the putting is the easiest technique. Well, the guy ended up four putting it. And he looked at his caddy, said, I never putt it from there. Cost the caddy his job. So, my advice to the caddies is, don't let that player walk you out on a limb where you have to commit, but where the player doesn't commit. All you're trying to do is to get the player to commit to a shot, whether you agree with it or not. You're trying to get that player to commit to a shot so he'll take responsibility for that shot, and that's the end of the story.
Hey, Steve, is it a problem for the guys that have brothers, friends, sometimes even girlfriends, wives, caddying for them, as opposed to just a good caddy, a guy who you don't know or didn't know, and you hire him and now you're working together? Is that a trend that you think can be dangerous with the friend, brother, whatever, out in the bag for you?
Tim, I really think it depends on what part of their career they're in. If they're experienced players, ultimately, if the player is responsible for everything, that player has an opportunity to be a great player. When that player takes responsibility for every part of his game, that player can really go to the next level. We see that some guys that have changed caddies, that have gone to caddies that are buddies, like Jason Day and the like.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy. I mean, all of those guys have won with buddies, but they're experienced players. These aren't guys that are new players and, rookies on the PGA Tour that have a brother or a cousin on their buddy on the bag that knows absolutely nothing about the game of golf. You know where those guys are? Those guys are off the tour.
Yeah.
Because they have not only are the caddies not helping them, but the caddies are hurting them.
So, well, there's certainly a value for, I would think, and I'm making a statement, but actually it's a question, Steve. A local caddy for the younger player who's out there who maybe, is struggling a little bit money-wise, to pick up a local caddy who knows that golf course and knows the ins and outs. I mean, I think there's a lot of value to that personally.
There may be. There could be. Well, heck, one of my students, Scott Pinckney, this year, the best tournament he played on the web.com regular season was in Wichita. And he picked up a caddy that was told that was the number one player on his high school team. Well, come to find out, this kid hardly plays golf. He's only played that course one time, and he's not good enough to be on the top five of his team. I mean, this kid was absolutely just a bag toter.
Yeah.
And Scott was, Scott could have won that tournament. He ended up coming in second place, but, that just goes to prove it is, if the player has it in his DNA to take charge, then, and he's comfortable at that level, he can get it done.
Sure.
And the champions, like you see Jack Nicklaus, you never saw Angelo up there on the greens giving him reads for putts. No. Jack did it up by himself. Angelo gave him yardages, and that was it.
And handed him a club.
Yeah, exactly. Give me the six iron, you know? So
like Ricky Fowler. Give me the six iron.
I like the story Elkington told us the other day on the air. Steve, you didn't hear it, but Elk was talking about his win at the Players' Championship, I believe, 97. Was it 97, Tim? But in any case, he was playing with Curtis Strange. And he gets to 17, and it's March. The wind's howling, that north wind's coming in. And he looks at his caddy and says, all I want you to do is just tell me what he hits, okay? Just tell me what he hits. And so Strange puts it in the center of the green. His caddy walks over to Elkington and says, what he hit? And he said, you don't want to know. He said, no, no. He said, I'm asking you, what did he hit? He said, you don't want to know. He said, in expletive, what did he hit? Six iron. Elkington said, what? Why'd you tell me that? He said, I told you didn't want to know. And Elkington pulls an eight iron, puts it in the middle of the green, you know, proceeds to two jab and then ends up.
Yeah, because he said the wind was what, like 25 miles an hour into him?
In March, at six iron,
because it was playing like, it was playing like 142 or something. He had a six iron.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? So, different swings. Yeah. Everything's a little bit different. Hey, Stevie Ray J, before we let you go, and I know you got a busy day, tell us, what was the biggest thing that happened last year? Was there anything that, and was it Tiger? Maybe it's that simple.
Yeah.
Was it Tiger winning finally that was the biggest deal that happened on the tour in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, we all know that Tiger's the only story. Ask Brooks Koepka.
No.
The only story.
No.
And, yeah. How many commercials he's doing?
I've got a couple nuggets for you guys. I talked to David Winkle just briefly. He's with Hambrick Sports. They manage DJ, Dustin Johnson. They also manage Brooks Koepka. Blake Smith is Brooks Koepka's agent. And I said, what's the story with Brooks? Does he care? They say, no, he really doesn't care. He really doesn't care if he gets the limelight. He's out there to win tournaments. And hopefully we'll get one of those guys on Hank Haney Golf Radio to talk and to tell the real story. My last little nugget here, Sung Kang was out yesterday. And he was putting on the putting green out here. And I asked him about the cheating incident.
Oh, yeah.
You know what he said?
No.
I didn't cheat, Steve. I didn't cheat. So.
Okay. You kind of expected that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're sticking with it.
I think that's another big story that I'm sure we'll talk about at the beginning of this next year, is that with the rules changes – and what we saw at the Hero World Challenge with the spoon, the scoop, the wrist shot, the Tiger hit. is this really a game of integrity that tests the player's integrity and character? Or is it just another game that we see what we can get away with? Hey, if we can get away with it, more power to us.
Move that bus. Well,
that is what it is in the rest of the world, right? I mean, in other sports, so golf has kind of hung on to that integrity part, if you will, and the self-policing, because in every other sport, if I held you on an offensive play in football and you didn't get caught by the – it doesn't really count. It's not holding.
Like,
who cares?
It's kind of like filing your taxes, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Well, in golf.com, in their survey this year, an anonymous survey, 44% of the guys surveyed said in a tournament they've witnessed cheating.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Sure.
Yeah.
Cheating. I don't think that's surprising. Blatant cheating, I mean, or is it just an ignorance of the definition of the rules? You know.
Well, you know, it's hard to say it's an ignorance because, Frank, every time there's a question, a rules official's brought.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so
I would think though that they would count cheating as even as small as they would probably have seen a guy mismark his golf ball,
Bob Toski,
when he's putting, and puts it a little bit closer than it was. And so it may be a half-inch cheat, but, you know, if that counts, then that counts as cheating. Then I would imagine those kind of things probably happen, as opposed to what I do, which is ball's not in the hazard. Let me go find it, and then suddenly
No, that's
Tim,
what you
Tim,
did,
how did you get such a good lie? How did you get such a good lie? I don't know either. It just happened. It was over here. I had no idea it was going to be sitting up like that.
Don't pay the ransom. I just escaped.
But, you know, Frank, that's why I always have Tim as my partner. Tim's always my partner. He's never my opponent.
Is it you're trying to lead him from temptation, or is it that you're benefiting from
him? I want to benefit from his sliding scale.
No bad lies. Yeah.
Tim.
It still stings, Steve, that we didn't win that that Tiffany watch. Still stings.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
We birdied every hole, Frank, and eagled every hole that we could. So all eagles, all birdies, except for one. We had one par.
We had a par. One par.
And you lost by one stroke.
We didn't even.
No, we tied.
Top three.
What?
No, we tied. We remember, Steve. We tied, and they had a scorecard playoff. And that hole we tied on, I think, was like. No, we weren't in top three of the scorecard playoff for a Tiffany watch. We got third out of the three, and Steve was so adamant. He's like, "Let's go right now." He says, "Let's just get those guys, and we'll go play our team against their team.
Let's see who's better. I agree.
Forget
with
the scorecard thing. Let's see who's better.
Bull scorecard. Bull, you know what? On a scorecard playoff, because I lost in a scorecard playoff here at the Ray Stevens thing this year. I don't believe in that. Let's just go play another hole. Let's go.
That's what Steve's saying. And right now, Steve doesn't have a nice watch on his wrist. He's always late. He has no idea the time. It's all because of that tournament.
That's right. I can't get anywhere on time.
It's all because of that tournament.
You better wind your iPhone. Wind that puppy up.
Stevie Ray J, we appreciate all your time, and I know you're a busy guy, so thanks so much for all the time you've given
you
to us.
Have a
great Christmas.
And good holidays.
You too.
You too, Steve. Right. You and your family. Merry Christmas, buddy.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Dave Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf for about the last 37 years. Yeah.
He's the best. He's so funny. He's got such great dry wit.
He was so angry about that. He goes, there's no way that team can, which he is right. There's no way. We totally got pencil whipped because the team that we were even tied with.
You're saying they cheated.
Oh yeah.
Who are these people? Let's call them out on the air. Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Just
two of them were some athletes, and so we knew their game, right? They weren't golfer athletes.
Other sports.
Yeah, other sports.
Mavericks.
So we knew that they didn't have that kind of game to shoot the score that they shot, but somehow it came out at the end. So anyway, we had a good team. Art Sellinger was playing with us on that team.
And you guys lost.
Steve, Art, come on,
you guys lost.
I guess
one of the top teachers in the world.
We tied for first.
Long drive champion and yip champion.
Yeah,
there you go.
Came in third. Yeah, didn't work.
That's brutal.
Anyway, it was fun.
Yeah, we should take a break and see if we can rustle up somebody from the French Lick Resort to join us.
Okay. We got a little bit to talk to Brendan Sweeney with the French Lick Resort about. So we'll get him out of bed if we can and see what he's got to say. So in the meantime, we'll take a quick break. You're listening to Golf Talk America on PGA Tour Radio, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, along with Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. And we just finished talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf about a lot of stuff. We kind of never know where we're going to go when we have Steve on. We'll talk about never knowing where you're going to go. We'd like to introduce our next guest, Brendan Sweeney, which will take us in all kinds of directions that we have no idea about. He, of course, with the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. Brendan, how are you doing today?
I'll be located 20 miles north of I-64, exit 79, in beautiful southern Indiana.
Deep in the heart of the Hoosier National Forest.
How's the weather this time of year? How's the weather? Everything good in French Lick? They play year-round there, or you got to slow it down a little bit in the wintertime?
No, our Valley course is open, and the Ross course, the flags are in. And I was up there last week, and it was nice when I got there. And then when I left on Friday, it was like 45 and raining steadily. So.
Ouch.
We're right below the weather belt, so we don't get the snow. But we just get all the yucky stuff that it's sort of like Dallas, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't get snow, but you get the rain.
Sort of like Dallas.
Yeah.
I was up there last year at around New Year's, it was 52 degrees, 54 degrees. The Ross course looked great. You know, just it was very playable. I mean, just perfect weather to do that. So,
drains very well too. So,
Brendan, Tim, as you know, Brendan, I should say, is rides in your seat. Oh, I ride in your seat, and he rides in my seat when you're not out on the road with us. And we've had we've had some fun experiences this past year in 2018, starting with the PGA Merchandise Show all the way through French Lick events and Santee events and everywhere else.
We had Michigan.
Yeah, we were all over the
Michigan
country.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, Brendan and I played more golf Orlando together than Damon and Zach.
Probably.
I'm serious. And guess what happened? Guess what happened in Santee for the first time?
What?
He beat
Snow.
Me.
Oh. Yeah.
He beat me.
Father Time is catching up to Frank Bassett.
It is. Man, it is. And, I was playing.
Took full advantage of that. He
kick them.
Moment of weakness, and I just pounced on them.
Kick
awesome.
Them when they're down. You did. Congratulations, big boy. You played well.
It's, yeah, if you're not the lead reindeer, the view never changes.
Exactly.
So, I was happy to change positions.
Yeah, exactly.
And you guys will be at the PGA Show coming up in another 30 days or so, right?
Yeah.
In Orlando.
Third week in January, Brendan, right?
Yeah, we got our schedules are starting to come up. And I was looking last year. I was just going through a couple notes. We had an all-star lineup last year with some of the, Dr. Bob, Rob Goulet, Elk was on there, Susie Whaley, Michelle McGann.
Yeah.
Just a list of folks that all came down through there. So it was neat. And we're looking forward to another great year.
Dr. Bob will be with us again. Dr. Bob's always a favorite of ours. And one of the best sports psychologists out there. I mean, he really is.
Where's the setup going to be this year, Frank?
It'll be on the radio stage, big stage at the main entrance doors there.
Same place.
Same place. All right. We'll be right there.
I was thinking there were some technical. We had some technical issues there, but no, they're all good.
Hopefully, they're all good. Yes.
Is it more technical or personnel?
it could be. No, we did have some. We always seem to have with the Orange County Convention Center. We get the one guy. Did you say, look, I need a dedicated line, a dedicated internet for this show? Oh yeah. Well, his idea. Well, we have wireless. Okay, you've got 25,000-30,000 people in that building at the same time. Don't work, pal.
Yeah.
And that's what cost us not having you on the show last year.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get that going. So, but it'll be good. We've had a lot of fun. Hey, Brendan, I want to go back to because French Lick is near and dear to our heart. Let's go back to what's happening between now and the end of the year at French Lick. I mean, just because you might not want to play golf because it may be too cold, there's a lot to do up there right now.
Golf is an amenity at French Lick. I mean, we have a lot of things going on. Most importantly, our casino is the dog that wags the tail. But during the Christmas season, you got to step out of there. And we're celebrating our 50 days of light. Steve Rondinero and Eric Turk put together this really cool projection show that's in front of the French Lick Hotel. So they have these two massive projectors, probably about 75 yards away from the building. And then they have it synced up to music, and the whole building is like a backdrop, and it's pretty neat. And then over at the that goes on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 6:30 and 7:30. Then over at the West Baden Hotel at 9 o'clock, we have a 45-foot Christmas tree in the middle of the rotunda. And then up on top is a massive light show that goes on as well. So, yeah, we're fully into it. There's the Indiana Train Museum that's located across the parking lot. And they have the Polar Express that's been sold out for months. So we got people coming around from just to enjoy the whole holiday spirit in French Lick. And it's all tied around family and fun and just a bunch of people having a good old time in the resort. And there's the whole town is sort of lit up. And come on by if you want to catch a little slice of Americana. It's a good place.
It
to
is.
Go.
It's a magical place, Tim. You've got to get up there. It is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like.
And the spa is pretty awesome at French Lick. They have a spa that'll kicks.
They have two spas.
Well, that's true. Two spas. I've only been to one.
We were just named two top 100 golf courses, but the number 4 and number 13, I think, on the top. Casino golf courses in America, so we're pretty happy with that. New ranking just came out.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you guys deserve it. And Dave Harner, your director of golf operations up there, does an incredible job. Tim, he really does. How long's he been there?
Since Moses dropped the 15th commandment,
that's right.
That third tablet hit the ground.
Hey, Tim, this year you got to circle the calendar. You got to come up in July. we're having the Donald Ross Classic. And then part of that, we're having the second edition of the Sweeney Cup, which is my little side tournament.
That we were cheated out of. You and I won it last year, but we, because I was playing with you, we couldn't accept it because you're the host.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Well.
Another scorecard playoff.
Scorecard playoff. Yeah, we should have won it.
Brendan, that's all the same weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's July 9th is our event. It's a pro-am that leads into it, and then the Symmetra Tour is right after that.
So. We played the Symmetra Tour event, the Donald Ross Classic. It was great because we played with Shannon Fish.
Shannon T. Fish.
Shannon was on Big Break NFL and Big Break in the Bahamas, one of them. She was on two Big Breaks. Good player, but it was so funny when I asked her. I said, so Shannon, the upcoming year on the Symmetra Tour, who's your sponsor? She said, that would be the Bank of Daddy.
B.O.D.
Really?
B.O.D. Bank of Daddy. I loved it. Having two daughters myself, it scared me to death. So. Yeah, she did. Shannon's a player. She was a stick.
They all are players.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they really are. So
Stephanie Cole is our champion.
And you're going to have the senior LPGA championship up there again.
Yes, in October. Looking for Laura Davies to come back and defend her title. She won the senior slam after winning the first ever, the inaugural senior LPGA, or senior women's U.S. Open at Chicago Golf last year. We're starting to get some traction on with the senior ladies. We're talking about the Legends Tour has got their schedule coming out, so they have like five or six events, which will give these ladies some opportunities to get tuned up for the two majors that we have, and hopefully some other Legends tournaments will pop out of this as well. So ladies golf is alive and well in French Lake, Indiana.
There you go. Very nice. Brendan and I will be playing at Lake Nona the day prior with the Tour Edge event.
Yeah.
Great golf manufacturer and friends of ours. John Claffey, who's their head of marketing, doing a great job. They have a lot of players.
Call him up. Yeah. Call him up today.
Yeah.
Made a little adjustment on my 7-iron.
Would you bend it?
Wow, the head came off a little bit.
Well, you can't play off the cart path like that, Brendan, and get behind the ball.
It was a big scramble. I was in your ball.
Oh, that's right. Good point. Anyway, where I was going with this, I'm getting lost here, but we're going to play Lake Nona on that Monday of PGA Merchandise Show Week, and then we'll be going over to the East Coast to Hammock Beach Resort and play in the Golf Writers Association of America tournament for 3 days over there.
GWAA Championship.
There
you
go.
No comps there. That's
no, we got it. We got to pay for it. We're paying for golf. God, it breaks my heart, but we are. We got to get you in some of these tournaments, Tim. Tim's a player, buddy. Tim and Steve Johnson and Art Selinger, stacked team. They play together around Dallas and try to fleece the populace out of money there. tell Brendan that story real quick while we've got him on.
Well, we're playing in a tournament that I found out about. A guy told me and said, "Hey, here's this." And his sister works for Tiffany's, right? The jewelry company. He said, "So I got it set up so that the winning team each gets new Tiffany watches." I go, "Get out!" He goes, "No, seriously, they're like $4,000 watches. They're beautiful, blah blah blah." And I go, "Okay." And he goes, "Love to have you put a team together." I said, "Okay, I can do that." So
yeah,
I get these guys together, and it was actually me and Steve, Art Selinger. It was five person teams, and then we played with Mike Madonna, who's a very, very good player, but Hall of Fame hockey player here in the Dallas Stars, and had retired and playing nothing but golf. And his fiance played with us, who was trying to make it on the LPGA tour. She didn't, but that's the level or near the level she was at. So she was a very good golfer. No, that's a good question. She might have been. Yeah, she might have been.
Symmetra Tour is the road to the LPGA, my man. So you may want to spread
that around. That's right. How long has the Symmetra Tour been around?
About 13 years.
Yeah.
So okay. Yeah. Then she probably did. Yeah. Because this is probably 5 or 6 years ago that we did this.
What's her name?
Allison. Madonna. Yeah.
Madonna.
I'm trying to remember her maiden name, but can't. Anyway, so we played like lights out. I'm not kidding. Everybody hit shots. Everybody's contributing. I was hit a few putts, did whatever I could do. Obviously, Art and Mike were hitting most of the drives. And Allison had a few drives because she got up to the ladies' tee. We just lit it up. And so we did everything but birdie one hole. We birdied every other par four, par three. We eagled every par five. And legit, we didn't have mulligans or anything else. It was a straight-up tournament. But we were just playing lights out. We get to the end, and there's a three-way tie for first at, you know, like 19 under, 18 under, whatever it was. And we're like, first of all, going, seriously? There's two other teams that played as well. And then we saw who they were, and most of them were, or both teams, had a couple of local athletes on it, who I knew. And I knew that they weren't very good. I mean, they were okay golfers, but not to the level that we were hitting shots.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're going to have a scorecard playoff. And they did a scorecard playoff. Out of three, we came in third. So instead of Tiffany watches, second place was like lesser, I think, Tiffany watches, but still very, very nice watches. We got like
a sleeve of balls.
We got Seikos. No, it was something about watches. I don't know what it was, but we got like, yeah, we got $200 Seikos or something. I mean, it was a watch tournament. And we're like, you got to be kidding me. So weird. Steve Johnson, I was saying earlier, Brennan, was livid and almost wanted to go challenge those guys. Go, come on, put your watches on the line. We'll go play holes. We'll see who's better. There's no way you get. And he wanted to. And we're like, Steve, you can't. I mean, what are you going to do? Call him cheats? I mean, they probably did, but what are you going to do? He just was on fire. That's what I was saying. He's still to this day
mad about it.
Brings it up because he doesn't have his watch.
Well, yeah, Steve, I told Steve should have just said, hold on a minute, let me call somebody, and we'll have a grudge match in a couple of days. He'll fly in for it and call Tiger and say, okay, come on,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, yeah. You want to put a team together? I'll put a team together.
I played with one of the local priests last week in a tournament.
Uh-oh.
And we were playing, and
called him a cheating.
He's playing a couple extra balls. I'm like, Padre, what about the mulligans? He goes, there's loaves, fishes, and mulligans. We're covered, boys. I'm like, all right.
Wow.
Fishes and mulligans.
Oh, yeah. God.
Father O'Malley hitting an extra shot. Yeah, what are you going to do? Call him on that one. Yeah, you don't want to get in a fight with a priest.
No.
Wow.
No.
Anyway, we've all gone through that, though, right?
They'll pass the plate more time during the service.
You're like, You know that the guys who are winning the trophy, you know they're not that good, but you're going, okay, what are you going to do, right? You can't follow them around, call them on cheats, but they did. So
Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, we're going to have some fun. We're going to do an end-of-the-year show, and you're going to be part of that show.
Oh, which, great. Which, something to look forward to, huh?
Yeah, and it probably will be R-rated, but it'll be a good show. So we'll have some fun.
But we should have it sponsored by, like, Deep Eddy Vodka.
Okay, ooh, that works for us. I mean, I have a holiday party coming up. Ship me in a couple of cases. You know those boys.
We can probably do
it. But, hey, thanks a lot for all the support this year. And Tim, I wish you and your family happy holidays. And hopefully we can see you soon.
Okay, yep. We'll do it. Thanks, Brendan. We appreciate your time.
We will talk to you soon.
Guys, have a great day.
All right, take care, bud. See ya.
Brendan Sweeney with the French Lick Resort. French Lick. What is it? What is the website?
FrenchLick.com. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. And you find out all you need to know.
It's the town. Yeah. Check it out. It's an incredible place.
The whole town is.
Yeah.
And they saved that town. It's this time of year. It's kind of like
Bill Cook. It's a wonderful Cook life. Group and you know? Steve Ferguson, who's the chairman of the board and CEO of Cook Group, out of Bloomington. They're wonderful people. I mean, it's a family up there. I mean,
you go
there, everybody knows everybody. And we've been up there so many times over the past 7, 8, 10 years, whatever it is, that you walk in, hey, Mr. Bassett, how are you? You know, boom, they just know you right away. Nothing changes. Yeah. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool place.
Very nice. You need to check it out. Yeah. All right, Frankie, we're about done. Time to get the sticks into the garage and out of the garage and into my car and head to the range.
Go tee it up. I'm gonna go to the range myself today. I need to do a little work on my game.
Hey, we'd like to... I want to remind everybody, too, to check out Club Corp, one of our wonderful sponsors. Go to clubcorp.com, and you can find out a club near you. Be a club member for a day. Check out the courses. And when you're a member of one Club Corp, you're a member of all of them, all over the country. It's a great, great deal, and you will have a wonderful time. Talking about family, you'll be part of a wonderful golf family at Club Corp. All right, well, we do appreciate everybody's time. Thanks for being with us. Thank you to Steve Johnson, managing partner of Hankini Golf, Brendan Sweeney with the French Lick Resorts. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening once again. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.